Pray with me. We're going to get started. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity to worship you. We're so thankful for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that we might know how to follow you and serve you and bring you glory and honor with our lives all the days of our life. I pray that each one of us would set aside all the distractions from the past week and all the distractions that are ahead of us today and tomorrow. And Lord, we would give you our full attention as we listen to your word. Lord, that you would speak to each of our hearts and help us to apply, to know and to apply what we're learning. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in your presence and for your Holy Spirit leading and directing and teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I have a test for you this morning. It's an easy test. It's pass-fail. Doug? Pass-fail. Let's see. Now, here we go. Raise your hand if you believe that these two circles are identical. That's it? There's only two of us? That's a statistic anomaly. One in 12 men are colorblind. Therefore, Doug and I are oddballs here. Raise your hand. Yeah, that's in more ways than one. Next, raise your hand if you see a difference between these two circles. Do you see a difference? Oh, my gosh, that's so embarrassing. Okay, what do you see in this particular picture? Okay. I see a three. I see the three there. I don't know if you guys see the three, but eight or three. Okay, we'll go back to the first two circles. Looking at these first two circles, no matter, I mean, I have looked and I've studied. I can't see anything in this particular image, and I will never see what you see. It's 45. Okay, well, thank you. I still can't see it. It's good to know. If this image contained a secret, it would remain a mystery to me, as well as Doug, and it wouldn't be the rest of you, apparently. But this particular image was created to allow all of you to know what Doug and I see or what we don't see. Some of us were born with this limitation. We didn't choose to be colorblind, but unlike colorblindness, spiritual blindness is a choice. It is man's willful ignorance of God's word, and it's also Satan's greatest weapon against you. Paul said in 2 Corinthians to this same group of people we're studying today, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. His greatest weapon against us is our willful ignorance of his word. Now, if you are not colorblind, you probably have never had a problem matching your clothes. And, you know, and I haven't for the last 25 years either. I just tell Andrea, I pick something out for me. But before that, it was all blue jeans all the time because I had no idea. Everything matches blue jeans, at least that's what I'm told. However, when I was 10 years old, my favorite outfit was a pair of green or brown slacks. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. And a red velour short that had some kind of stripes in it. I used to love wearing this outfit, and I wore it probably a dozen times until my sister said, you know, that doesn't match. Like, what do you mean it doesn't match? Well, those colors, they clash. Well, I asked her to explain it to me, but I still did not understand what she's talking about, and I just kept on wearing it. I didn't discover that I was colorblind until I was 12 or 13, and of course, I didn't know any better. You know, whatever I wore to school, I always thought that the girls were laughing at me because they're flirting with me. I had no idea that it was because I dressed so funny. Anyway, being colorblind did cost me a little bit of embarrassment, but being colorblind has cost me more than embarrassment as well. I don't know if you recognize this next slide. Yeah, Doug recognizes it because he's always messing his up in his classroom or his office. I remember that because I had to fix Doug's network more than once. Anyway, back in the day, so I used to do technology support, and I used to have to, you know, fix all kinds of computer problems. But whenever it came down to fixing the wiring that would, you know, in a campus, I would just have somebody else. take care of that for me. Well, I was working late one night down in Cesar. I was probably 10 or 11 o'clock at night. The very last issue I had to fix before I left campus was a network connectivity issue. One side of the building was not connected to the other. Next day is school. I've got to get it fixed. I've got no one to call. It's late at night. The tech coordinator had a bunch of these jacks, had the crimping tools, had it all right there. I went online, printed a chart out just exactly like that, and printed it out, and I tried to match the colors exactly the best I could. Now, fortunately, one end of this connection was perfect. The other end was broken. The wires were all loose. It was hanging. Even being colorblind, I thought, I've got to fix this. You know, the people are going to show up for school soon. Well, anyway, I finally got it fixed. The very first time I've ever terminated one of these connections and got it to work right. And it only took me 3 hours and an entire box of jacks. I got down to, the very last jack. It's like 1 or 2 in the morning. And I'm like, this has got to work. And I thank God, God answered that prayer because I got it to work and plugged it in. And then when I got home the next day, nobody would believe me that I terminated a jack properly, but I did get it. What should have taken 5 minutes took me over 3 hours. Being colorblind has cost me a bit of embarrassment. It's cost me a bit of time. But being spiritually blind, willfully ignorant of God's word, will cost you much more. It will cost you peace. It will cost you God's presence and his help. You will forget, you even forget that you need God, and you'll forget how much he loves you. Really, it's incalculable what spiritual blindness costs us. It will cost you growth. It will stunt your growth. Now, God doesn't want you to be spiritually immature or spiritually blind. He doesn't want you to be satisfied living like that. Every believer in Christ should be growing in Christ. Everyone. Paul said to the in 1 Thessalonians, he said, God's will is for you to be holy. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. To be holy means to be set apart for God's purposes, to be like Jesus, to be maturing in our faith, in our knowledge of God's word. And his goal isn't that you would be some super intellectual Christian and pat yourself on the back, but that you would understand it in order to teach others. Not just be able to teach, but actually to teach. When you choose to live in spiritual blindness, you are not fulfilling your God-designed purpose. And rather than bringing God glory, you're bringing him shame. Let's look at Paul's word to the 1 Corinthians. Read this passage and discover what Paul is saying, what it means, and how we are to apply it to our lives. Let me start in verse 1 of chapter 2, just to set Paul's train of thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1, 4, and 13. Paul said, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to teach you God's secret plan. I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. And then, starting in verse 14, our passage for today. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds like foolishness to them. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who knows the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. In other words, Paul is saying that you who are unspiritual have no idea what I am saying. You are clueless. You're caught up in the material or the intellectual or the emotional. You evaluate spiritual truth with human reasoning or human thoughts and ideas, and therefore you can't understand what I'm saying. As much as Doug and I study that image, we'll never see what you see. First of all, the first thing to note in this passage is that Paul is talking to the spiritually mature, and he's talking about the deeper things of God's Word, the deeper truths of God's Word, and not the elementary doctrines of the faith. Paul is referring to the Corinthians who are unspiritual, but not unregenerate. In other words, those who are unspiritual, not those who are unsaved. If he were talking about non-Christians, how would anyone become a Christian if all spiritual truth was completely hidden and we were unable to see it? The fact that Jesus is the Son of God, the fact that he came to the earth, the fact that he died on the cross for your sins, that you need a Savior, these elementary doctrines of the faith can be understood by anyone. How does this work out? When you share the gospel with someone, or they hear it in church, or they hear it on radio, or some friend tells them the truth, just as they are hearing that, the Holy Spirit confirms in their heart that what's being said is true. The Holy Spirit convicts them, and they realize that they are a sinner. They come to this realization that they are a sinner and that they need a Savior. And the first time they hear this, they might dismiss it. The second time they hear this, they might dismiss it. I heard Brian Jobe from Harvester at a preacher's conference say that someone has to hear the gospel 7 times before it sinks in and becomes reality. Well, this is what happens. The spark of faith in the heart grows with continued exposure to the truth. And that spark of faith grows into saving faith. And this is why you need to be inviting people to church. This is why you need to be telling people the gospel. You need to express it with your mouth. You know, your behavior, as good as your behavior is never going to win anybody to Christ. It might influence them to accept what you're going to say. You might be believable because they see your character in your life. But that is not the same as telling people that they need Jesus. This type of person, okay, and the word that Paul uses to describe people who aren't spiritual, listen, people who aren't spiritual, refers to a man who lives as if there was nothing beyond the physical life. He believes that there is no needs outside of material or physical needs. That is, I don't need forgiveness. In fact, as a Christian, I'm a pretty good person. I really don't need to spend any time going to God every day, wasting his time asking for forgiveness. I'm pretty good as it is. Besides, he already knows all my sins and he died for them all. Why do I need to bother asking him for forgiveness? Why do I need wisdom? I'm just going to make the best choice that I can. The fact of the matter is people that live as if there's nothing beyond this life, that all needs are material, and they value only the material things, that's the person that Paul is talking about. Not the unregenerate or unsaved person. This is the type of person who relates to life completely through his intellect. Can it be reasoned out? Through his emotions, through his will, and has no regard for spiritual truth. Now, this certainly describes non-Christians, but it also describes many Christians as well. The unspiritual person has the ability to understand but refuses to seek the truth and apply it. Now consider this parable of the sower in Luke. Jesus shared this parable of a farmer who scatters his seed. The seeds fall on various kinds of soil, rocky areas and good soil and the thorny area. And afterwards, Jesus teaches his disciples what this parable means. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14, he says this. Listen, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. In the NLT, it says, so they never grow into maturity. Now, this perfectly describes the unspiritual man that Paul is warning in this message. And it begs this question, why would a person refuse to seek the truth? Jesus gave the answer in John 3:8-19. He said, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. People love the darkness. The unspiritual man allows his sinful nature to control him. The sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. Now, it seems incredible, but it's true. It is possible to turn a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit, to ignore the promptings that are going on the inside of your heart, and to live a worldly, unspiritual life. Once we distance ourselves from the spiritual foundations of Scripture, our ability to recognize truth is blinded. Our ability to recognize atrophies, just like your muscles atrophy. We all know that if we are sedentary, our muscles atrophy, right? Our spiritual senses are dulled, and this is what happened to the Galatians as well. Paul, speaking to the Galatians, writing to the Galatians in chapter 3, he says this, O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. How foolish can you be? After starting your lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Living like this is the result of sin. Repeated sin, indulging in unforgiveness or gossip or greed or pride or lust. Just indulging your sin dulls your spiritual senses. But why would a Christian refuse to seek the truth? Why would a Christian turn a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit? And the answer is that they and you and I want to remain in control of our own lives. You want what you want, and you don't want anybody telling you what to do, how to think, how and where to use your money. This is the cost of remaining spiritually immature. You are grieving the Holy Spirit, and it is keeping you from growing and maturing into the godly person that you were created to become. The Holy Spirit is a fire dwelling in each believer. He wants to express himself through our actions and through our attitudes. When we believers do not allow the Holy Spirit to be seen in our actions, when we do what we know is wrong, we suppress and quench the Holy Spirit. And this hinders our ability to live a godly lifestyle. So what's the bottom line? The unspiritual man is simply a person who does not obey the truth of Scripture because they are unwilling to learn it. They know that seeking the truth, believing in God, and following Jesus will require them to change their lives, and most are unwilling to do so. Now think about this. How often, and maybe you're one, have you heard someone say, you know, they've got this really odd pain, you know, it's really uncomfortable, it's getting worse, and yet they refuse to make a doctor's appointment. Anyone to say amen or elbow somebody? Okay. You know, got this pain, refusing to make a doctor's appointment, fearing that if they go to the doctor, they might find out that there is something wrong. But as long as they remain ignorant, they won't have to worry or deal with the problem. or somebody not wanting to go take a physical on an annual basis because a doctor will put you on a diet or give you some medicine that you don't want to take. Now, why is this? As long as we are ignorant of the truth, we don't have to obey it. We believe that if we remain in control, and as long as we believe, we remain in control as long as we ignore the truth. But you know what? Ignoring the truth doesn't change the facts, does it? If you've got a problem and you're not going to make an appointment with a doctor, it doesn't change the diagnosis. And this is why Satan's greatest weapon against you is your unwillingness or your willful ignorance of God's word. Satan's greatest weapon is man's willful ignorance of God's word. Now listen, if you were colorblind, would you choose to have that corrected or would you rather stay the same? Or if you were deaf, would you choose to have that corrected or would you just prefer to remain deaf? Or if you were blind or a paraplegic and there was a solution, there was a surgery to heal you, to give you back your eyesight, give you back your hearing. Now, what if you were a quadriplegic? Well, someone asked Johnny Erickson Tata, who is a quadriplegic, this question. She wrote, "Someone once asked me, if you had the power, would you go back and choose your life in a wheelchair? I knew what he meant. After all, God has taught me much through my wheelchair. But would I want to do it over again? I don't think so. I can't think of anyone who desires to be paralyzed, who would be foolish enough to choose not to have use of his legs and hands. Can you imagine someone wanting to be blind, choosing darkness over the brilliance of a clear blue sky? Who would want to deliberately shut his eyes against the sight of a glorious rainbow? And who would want to be deaf? Who in the world would desire silence instead of the beauty of a waltz or the soothing voice of a loved one? Yet there are people who choose to be handicapped. If you were to challenge them, they wouldn't have it any other way. They deliberately determine to be disabled. Theirs is a very serious disability, not physical, but spiritual handicap. Jesus even talked about such people in Matthew chapter 13. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, "When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." Now, isn't it foolish to choose to be handicapped? Yet, many of us do that. At times, all of us do. We are not 100% able to hear and to see and to understand that it is our choice. It's also our choice to correct it, which you can do right now. Do you understand that? You can correct it right now. Are you spiritually handicapped right now? Are you blind? Do you believe that is your choice to remain handicapped? If you will ask the Lord from your heart with sincerity and with humility and say, "Lord Jesus, I have chosen to live spiritually handicapped. Forgive me for quenching and grieving your Holy Spirit. Please change the way I think and the way I live. Give me another chance. Help me to open my eyes, to open my ears, and to follow you. I read this devotion from Tozer this morning. He was talking on this subject of our grieving the Holy Spirit. And he said, what if you had maybe it was a 17-year-old son or 18-year-old son, started running around in the wrong crowd, and one day you got the call. He and his friend were down at the police station, committed some crime. Walking into the police station, you pity the young man that you don't know, but you grieve for your son. Going before the court, knowing he's guilty, he's going away to prison. You feel very sorry for the other family. You feel very sorry for this other young man, but you grieve for your son. Because you see the mistakes he's made and you wish you could have done something to prevent it. Everything that you say and everything you do falls on deaf ears. As much as you love him, nothing you can say is going to change them. And this is what the Holy Spirit experiences when you choose to live spiritually handicapped and blind. This is what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, because he loves you so much. He doesn't pity you, he loves you. And it breaks his heart when you ignore his truth. So you have a choice today. You can decide right now, and you can walk out of here saying, Lord, give me a new start. I'm going to devote myself to you. I'm going to devote myself to your word. I'm not going to ignore what your word says about how I'm supposed to live. I am going to yield and surrender to you. Help me. If you ask the Lord to help you with humility in your heart, he will help you. And you can walk out of here spiritually able to see because of your choice. Will you choose that today? Pray with me. Lord, I thank you that your love for us is real. I thank you, Lord, that you more than just show us pity, but you grieve us when we are disobedient and living in sin. And we know that grief comes because of your great love for us, just like we love our own children or our friends. Lord, I ask that you press this truth upon every heart here today, that we sense your drawing, we sense your nearness, we sense, in fact, I know if we ask you, Lord, right now to forgive us and to remove the blinders from our eyes and not let Satan have a victory in our hearts anymore, that you will forgive us and we can get a fresh start. Lord, the one or two or many here who would say that in their heart right now, Lord, help me. I choose not to be blind anymore. I pray that that transaction would take place right now and they will walk out of here forgiven. Please bring glory to yourself, Lord, by speaking to all of our hearts in this way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.